This is the 20th season of the Consumed podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Lewis. And this time around, I'm doing a quick retrospective with clips from the over 200 conversations I've had with eaters, drinkers, thinkers, and makers. I certainly can't include clips from all of them, so I stuck with the moments that have stuck with me over the last 5 years. I categorize them by the different kinds of guests I've had, so it's a great way for devoted listeners to look back or for casual listeners to dip in. I have so enjoyed reliving these moments, and I hope you will too. But first, a quick shout out to the Consumed podcast sponsors. Consumed is sponsored by Midstate Containers Cargo Storage Containers and Refrigerated Shipping Containers for sale and rent in California. You may not understand how Midstate Containers could change your life, but the truth is, many, many guests on the Consumed podcast use Midstate for their projects. Containers can serve as wine storage units for case goods, for private collections, and even tasting rooms. They can be refrigerated storage containers for breweries, kegs, and fruit during harvest for wineries. Midstate Containers outfits coolers and freezers for ranchers, farmers market growers, orchards, and butchers. Containers can make great pop-up coffee bars and berry containers for root cellars. My guest from season 10, Krista Flieger from Lonely Palm Ranch, uses her Midstate container for an office on her property. Other ideas include schoolrooms, music and photography studios, and there are other things that can be grown, stored, and processed in a Midstate container, so use your imagination and get on their website to request a quote, midstatecontainers.com. Slow Food Co-op's mission is to empower health and well-being in the community by providing quality groceries, local produce, and exceptional customer service. Slow Food Co-op sources from local producers, ensuring they offer their shoppers great food and household staples. Slow Food Co-op is your friendly neighborhood grocer, maintaining non-GMO standards and a variety of organic selections. You can find Slow's only community-owned grocery store open every day, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., at 2494 Victoria Avenue in San Luis Obispo, California. And check out their website at slowfood.coop. Here are my favorite episodes featuring brewers, which are, not coincidentally, some of my favorite people. One of those is David Walker, who co-owns Firestone Walker Brewing Company, one of the most important craft breweries in California, if not in the nation. We met at the brewery's headquarters in Paso Robles, and David shared how the company came to be a juggernaut in the craft brewing universe. I brought up that the artwork on Firestone labels shows a lion and a bear, both baring their teeth and seemingly ready to fight. And he had this to tell me about the label's origins.
You know, Adam and I were always, we came together because we, first of all, both of us love this idea of sort of honest family enterprise. And we thought, you know what, let's see what we can do. Mm-hmm. Firestone Walker Brewing Company sort of is the moniker. But ultimately, we wanted to create something a little bit more graphical. One of the smart guys who works in our marketing department came up with this idea of a lion that represented England and a bear that represented California. And because we're also very different, I mean, you know, Adam is a Californian and I'm English. We tackle things differently. We look at the world differently. So we're always always sort of arguing with each other over things. And that has been a dynamic that both of us have recognized in the partnership that, you know, basically out of you could call it inadvertent conflict comes a bigger result. Mm. And we actually at the brewery call it the lion and bear spirit. And so yeah, we encourage people to challenge the status quo, challenge each other, disagree with each other respectfully. So it means a lot to us.
It's a John Lennon and Paul McCartney sort of situation.
I'll take it. I'm John Lennon.
On the industrial outskirts of San Luis Obispo, California, a brewery called There Does Not Exist produces some of my absolute favorite beers. The trouble is, brewer Max Montgomery doesn't want to make the same thing twice, which is consistent with everything else about There Does Not Exist. It's hard to find, it's hard to say, it's hard to understand, all while being irresistible and delicious. Here, we spoke over Zoom about his early decision not to build flagship beers into the brand.
I just, for some reason, had this inkling that the industry was going to go in a different direction. So we decided, you know, what if a brewery had no flagships and we never made the same beer twice and it was always different? And we decided to go in that direction because I felt pretty strongly that that would be cool, a cool concept for people to always have something new. Come to find out now that we've been doing a little while, I think there was a reason that no one did that. It's difficult, and I think it upsets a certain sect of beer drinkers. You know, people want that. They find comfort in knowing that something's always available.
Yeah.
So when people come to our brewery and we're sold out, I think some people get pissed off.
Yeah.
But I hope that we can sort of open their mind and their horizon a little bit.
Yeah. It's funny when you say that, it's one of those things, like, in theory, I fully support that. That's almost like, you know, seasonal eating. You don't get strawberries in January, you get them in spring, and you just have to deal with that. And in theory, I love that. But in practice, yep. I want that Lost Light beer when I want it. I don't want you to, have it come and go. But I'm sure we could all adjust as consumers. We could all adjust. We have to with you. And then you get people to a point where they trust you, and whatever you're putting out, they're going to try and be happy with some of it anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I want you to always have that beer, but we just ask that, you know, you take the ride with us and take the trip and, like, open your mind to try something different. You know what I mean? It forces people to think outside the box. And some people are really receptive to that and others hate it.
Yeah.
I think it's a personality thing. I love it. I love trying new stuff. But when beer, food, wine, anything, like, if it's edible, I will try it with reckless abandon.
Wow.
Just because I like new stuff, you know? Like, at the end of the day, I want to be like, yeah, I tried that, or I gave it a shot. I didn't love it, but I tried it. So hopefully people can kind of do the same with our beer.
A few of the Consume podcast episodes are live recordings of interviews with people I respect in the food and drink landscape. They were a lot of fun, and I'd love to get more on the books in the future. The first get-together I held at There Does Not Exist Brewing and featured Max Montgomery, Firestone Walker's Matt Brynaldson, and Topa Topa Brewing Company's Jack Dyer. Here, Jack talks about the path that led him to owning one of the most loved breweries around.
My career path took me, I was a third grade teacher, was my first job. I like to say that the kids drove me to drink. So I did that for a minute, and then I enjoyed a little bit of a career in the wonderful world of student loan finance and marketing. But I was doing some,
really?
I did actually a really cool product that I got kind of drafted into. I was my summers off, I would lifeguard at the Jersey Shore and wait tables at night. And turns out the CEO of Sallie Mae, which a lot of people might owe some money to, was one of my beach patrons.
Yeah.
And he saw me working all day and all night. And he used to come into the restaurant all the time. And he was just like, you should send me your resume. And I was, at that point, I was looking at new teaching jobs all over. I was looking in Hawaii and places. And He put me in this position it was kind of a startup within the company. I'm dating myself here, but it was an electronic billing platform is what we were selling before electronic bills existed. And so I got put in charge of that group. And so I got a little taste of, like, the startup vibe, but we had all the money we could ever need. So it was totally different than a real startup. But so I did that for many years and had some success there, and that was my previous career, and then kind of just topped out, and I knew I wanted to do something on my own. And I'd fallen in love with beer when I lived in North County, San Diego, and enjoyed, like, the early days of San Diego beer scene, and started a thing called a brew op, where we took the co-op concept and we applied it to beer. So we got about 20 men and women. We bought a pretty decent sized homebrew kit and stored it in our friend's garage, and we made a beer a month and packaged it and distributed it out to all the members of the brew op. And so that's kind of where I fell in love with not only the craft of making something and making something that was different and unique and great, but for me personally, more importantly, it was about the community aspect of it. Yeah. And like really the friendships that I was able to forge through that process and sharing those moments of life together with people over a beer was really, really, really fun. So I immediately started writing a business plan for a brewery, and we were originally trying to start one down in San Diego. We were totally copying Pizza Port, and we're going to do it. Pizza Port with burgers.
You heard it.
Whole
heard it here first.
Concept. It was going to be multiple locations just like them. And life took me north to the Ventura and Ojai area, and my business partner and brewmaster for us, Casey Harris, grew up here. He went to UCSB, and so nice. I moved up there, and I was kind of redid the business plan to fit that market, and was just like, hey man, if I raise the money, will you come up? And he did, and we did.
And you did, yeah.
Here we are. So.
I was over the moon when the owners of Russian River Brewing Company, Vinny and Natalie Chilurzo, said yes to an interview for the Legends season of the Consume podcast. On a Tuesday, I drove a total of 11 hours in one day just to hang out with them, and it was well worth the trip. Vinny and Natalie are warm and generous, so down to earth and so cool. What sealed the deal was when they carried cases of beer out to my car with me and loaded them into the truck, so happy to help, even though there were plenty of other people who could have done it for me. In this clip, you'll hear Natalie talking about how she and Vinny first met under somewhat criminal conditions.
Well, Vinny was 19 when we met. I'm an older woman. I was 21.
Scandal.
And he invited me to his 20th birthday party, and that was our first official date. We went to this place in Escondido because you couldn't get craft beer in Temecula at the time, or microbrewed beer, as we called it back then. And that was in 1990. And we were going to his friend's house for his birthday party in San Diego. And he gave me $100 and he told me to go in.
Vinny gave you $100?
Vinny gave me $100 and he said, go in the store and buy these beers. And I was like, it's called Holiday Wine Cellar. And Holiday is still there today at this now in Escondido. And they sell our beer, which is great.
Awesome.
So the story comes full circle. I mean, I don't even know if they care about this story, but it has a sentimental place in our heart. And so I walk into the store and I have this list of beers that I'd never heard of to buy. It was Pete's Wicked Ale and Sierra Nevada and
Liberty Ale.
Yeah. And you know, maybe some import or something like that for this $100. And I was like, wow, that didn't go very far.
Even then.
So anyway, yeah, on our first date, I contributed to the delinquency of a minor.
That is a pretty sexy first date.
Yeah, and the rest is history.
I love it. Well, I also just love that you've known each other so long and that it goes back far.
That's it for this quick stroll down memory lane on the Consumed podcast. To hear these interviews and many others, head to letsgetconsumed.com, where you can search and peruse episodes, see photos, and get recipes. You can also sign up for the Consumed newsletter list, which offers updates on the podcast, more recipes, and even more than that. Special thanks to Chris Lambert for doing the original editing on all these episodes, and to Alexandra Wallace for the lovely collage celebrating the 20th season. Until next time, I'm Jamie Lewis.